Well, let's pray as we prepare to study the scriptures. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotam, v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. We are continuing this week with our series, Six Ways to Connect with God. Last week, I focused on conversational prayer as a way of connecting with the Lord. And this week we want to look at how you can build your relationship with the Lord by praying for other people and other situations, not for yourself. This week's Haftorah portion in Isaiah 54 speaks about a very difficult subject that sometimes people don't even want to acknowledge. It is this: God sometimes hides himself from us. And God acknowledges in this passage, Isaiah 54, you might want to turn there. Verse 7 is where we'll start. He acknowledges that sometimes he actually does that. Did you know that God sometimes hides from us? That's why in the scriptures elsewhere it says, if you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. So to find God, he has to be in a condition or in a way, in a place where you have to come looking for him. Isn't that interesting? Isaiah 54:7. For a mere moment I have forsaken you. For how long is that? A mere moment. But with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you. Do you see the comparison? I hid, but it's for a very short time. But what's the end that I'm working towards? It's mercy. It's mercy. It's God revealing himself. It's God showing himself. And the Lord says, with everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you. Okay, let's compare. How long is a mere moment? Short. Okay. And how long is everlasting kindness? Forever. Okay. So, which is longer? Everlasting kindness. So, we can contrast the two. It's for a mere moment that we may find God hard to find. But with everlasting kindness, he will show mercy to us, says the Lord, your Redeemer. Now, the next verse is worth reading slowly. For to me, this is like the waters of Noah. The Lord's saying it's like the waters of Noah. The waters of Noah were used to judge the earth and to sweep away the unrighteous and to start all over again. But the Lord says, it's like the waters of Noah to me because I've sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth. In other words, they came and they went. There was a limit, a time limit on those, and it was a relatively short time. How long was the flood? 40 days. In the same way, the Lord says, I have sworn that I wouldn't be angry with you or rebuke you. Now, the challenge is this. The anger of the Lord, even when he's really angry with us, will be for a short time if you join yourself to him. I don't know about you, but I don't believe that God is a happy grandfather with a white beard sitting up in heaven ho-ho-hoing like a Santa Claus who just wants to give presents. I think he's a loving father who sometimes disciplines his children. I don't know about you, but I have been spanked by the Lord. Have you? I have cried when I've been punished. Have you? I've gotten in trouble with him. How about you? Now, when I get in trouble, it doesn't mean he hates me or rejects me, because he tells us that a loving father does discipline his children. And it's only a father who doesn't care at all who wouldn't discipline his kids. Have you ever been at the store and you see parents who don't discipline their kids at all? Does it make you want to leave the store?
Yes.
Yeah. God loves us so much that sometimes he will discipline us. But there is a limit. And the limit is it will be for a short time, and it will always be for the purpose of redemption and mercy. And then verse 10 wraps this up. For the mountains may depart, and the hills even be removed, but my kindness will not depart from you, nor will my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. So God is explaining something to us. And we read this traditionally during the month of Elul as we're preparing for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and we're examining ourselves and getting ourselves ready for the high holidays and wanting to make sure that we have cleaned up what we need to clean up. And we see here a picture of God's mercy and his seriousness at the same time. It's to help us understand that during this month, we may actually need a little bit of discipline from the Lord, but it's not for the purpose of hurting, rejecting, or destroying. It's for the purpose of preparing us for mercy. In the end, God's mercy will triumph over even his justice. Well, this helps us understand that when we're praying for other people, including people who are far away from God or doing things God doesn't like, we want to keep in mind and take to heart the incredible mercy and kindness that God shows us. You know why? If we remember the mercy he shows us, we can show mercy to others. We serve a Redeemer who wants to redeem and restore. So with this in mind, let's turn our attention to prayer, particularly the kinds of prayers that aren't directed towards our needs. When we were talking last week about conversational prayer, a lot of that was focused on how we pray about ourselves and our situations. But tonight, I don't want to talk about how we pray for us. And I actually want to focus on something that maybe is the most important aspect of prayer, the most important perspective, and that is, we are called to find out what's on God's heart and what's on his mind and to pray. That's what it means when Yeshua taught us to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You and I have a responsibility and we have an ability to discover God's will and his desires, his priorities, and to pray those things be done rather than our will. And so it's very important that we open up our hearts to God's will, to his concerns, his feelings, his vision, his priorities. There is a way of praying where you're just trying to get God to say amen to you. But we want to learn how to say amen to what God is praying about, what he is wanting to accomplish. In Isaiah, it also tells us that there was a point where God was looking for someone who could stand in the gap, and he couldn't even find one person who would discern what it was that he wanted to accomplish and would pray for that. It's much easier to pray for what you want. But prayer can become very selfish. It can become self-centered. It's gimme, gimme, gimme prayer. Or I want prayer. Or I need kinds of prayer. It can be why prayer. And it can also be wah. And some people like to turn that into like a beautiful harmony. Why? And it becomes the kind of prayer that actually doesn't move God. It may move him to stick his fingers in his ears, if you will. So we want to move away from selfish or self-centered prayer. One of the ways of doing that is to pray for people with their needs. Open your hearts to other people and their issues. Pray for them. Sometimes you actually have to pray because you don't know how to pray. You have to seek the Lord because you don't know what to do or how to do it. I love 2 Chronicles 20:12. This is one of my wife's favorite scriptures. It's just an extraction of a verse from a powerful story that's worth paying attention to. You might want to read that. But the children of Israel were crying out, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." You see, there are times when the real sincere prayer of the children of God is a prayer of unknowing. We don't know what to do. It's not a prayer of presumption. It's not a prayer of direction. It is a seeking prayer. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And there may be times even when it's necessary to pray in your spiritual language in order to understand how to pray. You may not have understanding. I mean, you may have ideas, but they can be the wrong ideas. And it's important to discern what God wants to do. Well, let's look at some directions for prayer for people and their needs. One is to pray for the sick. We're called to pray for the sick. And that means when we see people or we're in contact with people who are sick, we should take time to pray for them. And you don't have to be presumptuous to pray for the sick. You can simply pray, "Lord, I would love to see this person healed." You don't have to command God, "God, heal them." Have you ever watched TV where everyone's commanding God? It's sort of like he's their spiritual errand boy, you know, running all over doing exactly what the person wants. I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. I'm saying when someone's sick and you love them, you can say, "Lord, I just want to see this person heal. That's why I'm calling to you, because you're the healer. You're Adonai Rofe. And you heal the sick." And we can talk sincerely to God like that on behalf of other people. We also pray for the poor, that they would be cared for, and we offer ourselves in prayer to the poor. When we see people in need and we're aware of people's needs, we can ask God to meet those needs. Sometimes when we're praying for people with needs, the Lord will speak to our hearts and say, "You help meet that need." Have you ever had that happen? Pray for the unemployed and the underemployed. If you do that, you'll stay busy in the current economy because so many people need jobs. Who needs a job right now? Okay, stand up. We're going to put this into practice. And those of you who don't need a job, just extend your hand towards the people who need a job and just say, "Lord, we want to see these people fully employed. We ask you, Lord, to answer them. And we ask that you would guide them to the right kind of job, to the right opportunity, whatever it might be. And we ask that they would not have the sorrow of continuing to have uncertainty about their work. Give them confidence as you lead them and provide for them in Yeshua's name. Amen." Anybody here got a job? Has anyone had a new job, received a new job? Those of you who got new jobs, stand up for just a minute. Okay, let's just look at this. New jobs. New job people. Okay, let's thank the Lord for all the new jobs. Okay, now all of you who stood up earlier because you need jobs, I want you to now stand up and thank the Lord for these people who have jobs. Okay, join me. Thank you, Lord, for giving jobs, new jobs, to all these men and women. And we know, Lord, you're not a respecter of persons. You love us. You're not just distributing love in certain directions. You're trying to show love to all of us. And I pray, Lord, that we could all rejoice together for the new work that you have given to these here, and especially that those who need a job could rejoice in those who have found work, and that it would cause them to take courage. In Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Here's another way to pray for people in their need. You pray for people who are going through testings, through trials, through difficulties. Don't judge people when they're going through trials. Pray for them. Because the nature of their trial doesn't define the calling of God on their life or their worth. It simply defines what they're going through now. If you judged Joseph by the fact that he was in prison and said he had to have done something wrong, because nobody ends up in prison like that, you would have been misjudging him. If you thought that because Moses ended up in the wilderness raising sheep, that he was only good for raising sheep, you missed the point. God used that whole time that he was shepherding to prepare him to lead the biggest congregation that's ever existed on the face of the earth. Amen. And to lead them out and out of Egypt and into the promised land. He didn't make the last step, you know the story. And so if you judge him that way, you'll misjudge him. If you judge little David when he was out there watching the sheep because nobody thought he was good for anything else, you think, oh, he must not be worthy of anything. He doesn't have much of a future. His brothers, his father don't see anything for him. You'd be misjudging him. If you heard the stories that he had had to fight a lion or a wolf or a bear or something like that, and you thought, oh, there must be something wrong with him that he's going through such difficulties and such dangers. I've got a safe life. I'm good. You'd be misjudging him. Don't judge people when they're going through testings. Pray for them. Pray that they will survive the testing. Pray that they'll overcome with victory and that they will end up in a place where they can say, God brought me through and blessed me. To be more than an overcomer means you have to have something that's about to overcome you. And you're more than that. To be more than a conqueror means you face something that could have conquered you, but you didn't let it. You didn't allow it to defeat you. And so it's important to get this in your heart. So when you see people going through difficulty, you say, Lord, bless them. Help them through it. And you remind the Lord of how he was faithful to you. Have any of you ever been in difficulty? Anybody here ever had a difficulty? Anybody here ever had undeserved trouble? Anyone? I'm not asking about deserved trouble, just undeserved. Have you ever had some kind of hardship that just didn't make sense and just didn't feel right? And did you survive it? Who survived? Okay, let's give thanks to the Lord that we survived. Let's pray for others to survive. Lord, thank you. You brought us through and we made it. And now we ask that you would pour out your grace on those who are going through difficulties now. Trials and tribulations now. Help them. Sustain them. Lift them up. Thank you, Lord. Another group to pray for are those in mourning, people who are mourning the loss of loved ones. September 11th is upon us, the 10th anniversary. It's a time of national mourning. We remember those who were lost. We remember the families, the loved ones who lost their dear ones. And we say, Lord, bring comfort to them, strengthen them, help them keep going. It's also important to pray proactively and not only reactively. Let me see if I can explain what I mean by that. It'll take a few minutes. One is you've got to be able to see with some vision the good that God wants to do for a person and pray towards that end. When you know, for instance, that God wants to answer the cry of someone's heart, then you can pray for that direction. I'm looking, I think, yeah, in the back, a little child. Turn around and look. The desire of his father's heart. When they didn't have that child, what did we pray? Lord, give them a child, right? Give them a child. You don't just pray about the current situation or the lack or the problems. You pray towards the goal. And so it's important to see what's missing and pray for that. Sandy and I had experience. We worked many years in the former Soviet Union in Central Europe and were involved with many outreaches. After each outreach, we had an opportunity to pray, sometimes with dozens or cumulatively hundreds of people. Sometimes thousands of people wanted prayer afterwards, and they weren't even sure what they wanted prayer for. And many times, Sandy and I would be with, say, an older Jewish couple that came forward, and they wanted something, and they didn't even know what it was they wanted. And Sandy and I developed the habit of saying, well, could we ask God to bless you? And you know what? I think they all said yes. Because who doesn't want to be blessed? And it was our custom just to ask God to bless these people with his love and with his mercy and to show himself to them and to heal their heartaches and so forth. And I would say a fair number of them just started crying because of the mercy of God that they were receiving. And it was just because we were asking God to bless them. You see, we learned something that you can bless people in prayer. And this comes out of maybe the call that God gave to Abraham in Genesis 12. You can read it in verses 2 and 3. God says to Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation, and I will bless you. Who's going to bless Abraham? God. And I will make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. But in the Hebrew, it's actually the imperative, the command form. Be a blessing. It's not the future tense. It's the imperative. And it says, be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. The Hebrew is more reflexive. It says, in you, all the families of the earth will bless themselves. They'll learn how to bless themselves by connecting to Abraham and Abraham's children. So when you understand God blesses us, we're called to be a blessing to other people, then you get power because you realize this is what God wants me to be. Do you understand God wants you to be a blessing? He wants you to bless other people. So you find people or they come into your lives who need a blessing and you start blessing them. Now, some people pray like this. God, I don't know what to do with this person. They don't have a clue. I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. You'd say, Lord, bless this man with wisdom. He certainly needs it. You can leave that part out. But you begin to think about what the person needs, the positive thing that they need, and you begin to pray that as a blessing to them. You could say, this guy gets angry so quickly. Or you could pray, Lord, bless this man with patience. You see, it's a different way of praying. Instead of thinking about what they lack or thinking about them only in the negative, you think about the positive that they need. Now, this is magic, and sometimes it doesn't work. But you'd be amazed how many times it does work when you can pray for someone and bless them with what they lack and pray for them in the positive way. Well, another aspect of our calling is to pray for Israel and for Jerusalem. Psalm 122, verse 6. Who knows what that says? Say it out loud. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And it goes on to say, may they prosper who love you. So that requires love for Jerusalem. It's not enough to pray for the peace. You've got to love. If you've got one of these purple siddurs in the CPAC in front of you, open it up for just a minute to page 28 in the middle of the Kaddish. Actually, at the end of the Kaddish is a very familiar passage. The Hebrew says, Oseh shalom bimromav, hu ya'aseh shalom aleinu, ve'al kol Yisrael vimaru. Amen. The English says, may he who makes peace in his high places make peace upon us and upon all Israel, and let us say, Amen. You see, this is a prayer for Israel's peace. Lord, you who make peace upon us. Make peace upon all Israel. We're not just praying for ourselves, we're praying for all Israel. It's important to learn to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There's direction. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. Verse 8 of Psalm 122, for the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. I'm looking at the time. I want to just spend a few more minutes to wrap up. Pray for our congregation. That's another direction. You can join us on the first Wednesday of every month for prayer. We gather together as a community. We pray in many different ways for one another, for the people of the congregation. Pray for me and for Sandy, for our elders, for ministry leaders. Pray for our ministries. Pray for the new synagogue. Pray for the resources we need for it. All of these things are important. We'll go into that in more detail, but not today. Another direction, and I find this particularly hard to people who watch Fox News. Pray for our governments and community leaders. Pray for them. Pray on behalf of them. Okay? Pray. I'm going to say things that are hard here. Okay, it's Jeremiah 29:7. This is a tough word. It says, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I brought you in exile. Pray to the Lord on its behalf. Pray for it. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. That's a direction for prayer. Why is that hard for people to pray? Because we get used to the bad news and we want someone to blame. And we pray against the one who we find fault with rather than for them, not understanding that our prosperity is linked to their success. They need help. You start blessing them. I know this is tough for some of you. That's why I'm speaking about it. It also makes it clear, seek the good of the city where I've called you. So don't just be concerned with national issues. They are important, but they are not the only thing that is important. Local issues are also important. When you see violence just bursting out as it did recently and has on many occasions here in Jacksonville, stand up and seek the peace of the city. Pray for the peace of the city. Don't assume that it's just going to run rampant, and don't see it as judgment. I mean, the judgment starts where? I read in the house of the Lord. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Judgment starts with the house of the Lord. 1 Timothy 2:1. Maybe you don't like Jeremiah. I'll hit you from the New Testament. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4. Paul writing to Timothy, I'm urging you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, so that. Wherever it says so that, it's explaining a purpose or another outcome. So that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good. It pleases God our Savior and your rabbi. Were you listening? I just want to see if you're listening. I threw that in. That's a gloss. It's not actually in the text. This is good. It pleases who?
God.
God our Savior. It doesn't even say anything about the rabbi. His opinion's irrelevant right now. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. This is a very important way to pray. If you're caught up praying judgment, you know what will happen? You'll be living in a judged land. If you want to know what judged lands are like, you can't imagine. You have no idea unless you have escaped from one. It is a terrible thing to live in a land that is judged. It's much better. It pleases God to bring people into the knowledge of the Lord and to salvation. To come to a knowledge of the truth. You know why it pleases Him? Because it's the triumph of mercy. And that's His plan. He put a limit on things. He doesn't want to do the Noah thing again. He's sworn He's not going to do it. He reminds us that He's put limits. He's not going to judge as He did in the days of Noah. However, He will hide Himself. So that you and I will know we have to come looking for Him. Well, that's enough for tonight. I think I've either encouraged many of you or irritated enough of you, depending on your attitude about these things. My general policy is if I'm going to say something controversial, I want it rooted in the Scriptures and I want it to be controversial to us. Because if the Word of God is not sharp to us and doesn't judge our attitudes, we're misusing it. It's not primarily a weapon to use in assault against the heathen. It is a weapon that divides soul from spirit in us and enables us to judge the attitudes of our own heart. If you're okay with that, you'll do fine next week. Let's pray. Lord, we need your help. We need your word. We need to know what's in your heart so we can align with that. Lord, help us learn how to join in the acts that are appropriate for the servants of a redeeming God. You who love to redeem and who want to save. You don't want to condemn and judge. You want to save because of your love. Impress upon us how we might live our lives so that the mercy of God has the ultimate hand, the ultimate word, and the final victory. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha, v'chunecha yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha. Shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord protect you. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you with His favor. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you shalom. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.